Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Tommy.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Ernest.
Let's get started.
All right, guys. We got Ernest back for round two.
Pew, pew, pew.
Nice. Tommy, stepping it up this week.
Yes, job, I am.
Must have
taking a tutorial.
Oh, my goodness. I take it back. You totally messed up.
Oh, I meant to do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Welcome back, Ernest.
Thank you, man.
Man, still another week without Justin, but we are so close to getting him back.
We are.
He's waiting. He's in a contract negotiation with our agents.
That's what it is.
I mean, we're talking about, big stuff here. I mean, big time.
Licensing.
I mean, I can't even say
apparel.
The number. No, we're not.
No merch?
No. I mean, Justin can't even afford a proper mic stand. Ernest has had to suffer through this for the last couple weeks.
Yeah. If any sound recording studio listening wants a shout out, shoot us a free mic stand for Justin, and we will give you all the recognition.
Do you remember our email address?
No.
You don't? Isn't it really long?
It's really long.
www.verticalshiftpodcast.com. No.
vertical.shift.podcast.com. What?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. But anyway. I don't know. It's really long. You'll have to look that back up so we can get some response.
So I'm trying to remember. When we left off last week, Ernest, we had just heard about, your story coming from Hawaii and you coming over to Tennessee. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. But for you, it was especially a big deal. You had roots. You had a great job. You loved your job. So that was very testing in a trying time. Now, you were already a believer, and so you were talking to the Lord about it, and, it was important for your wife. You just had a baby. How old was Nariah when she moved to Tennessee?
Man, she... Jeez.
I know it's a test.
She couldn't have been more... than 6 months, I want to say, like 3 to 6. She was just, really young at that time.
So in those 6 months, you're discovering all these developmental.
Yeah, well, right? She spent a lot of time in the NICU, right? So you knew that there was something that could or was going to.
Yeah. Well, when she started having the seizures and stuff like that,
that's scary.
It was just like, okay. Something's wrong.
And this was your first child.
Right. It was.
Mm-hmm. Bro, let me rephrase that. Bruh. So I'm going to tell y'all a quick story. So my first kid is now 17. Shout out to Mason. Woo-hoo.
Hey, Mason.
Chew.
So he doesn't listen, by the way. He might. But anyway... So my wife was scheduled for C-section. We knew that going into, she had to have them for physical reasons. And so it was really, I'm going to tell y'all, that's the way to go. I mean, from a guy's perspective, that's the way to go. But we had the day before, we had a little get together at the house. That morning we got up, went and stopped, and got Starbucks. You weren't. You
get to plan it
You had
all.
An appointment,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But you stay in the hospital longer. Okay, so we got to the hospital, C-section, everything went fine. I had to go home and get some clothes. Mm-hmm. So until this point, I had never held a baby in my life, let alone do anything that you have to do with babies, ever.
Wow.
And so I was fine up until the point where I had left the hospital to go repack clothes and just get another bag. I walked into the house, and it was dead quiet, dark, clean.
And you thought, never again.
And I don't know what happened. When I stepped over that threshold into that house, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, this is the last time I'm going to walk through this house and without, or it's already started with, worry and stress and the weight of taking care of another human being. It hit me like a ton of bricks. Dude, I started full-fledged crying, tears pouring out. I hit the ground. I'm already over-dramatic anyway. I hit the ground, and I looked up, and I said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? And I was dead serious. I was so scared.
Yeah.
I was so scared.
Yeah. It's probably the most life-changing thing that I've experienced as an adult as in my life was when my son was born. I mean, it is. It's just instantaneous responsibility. Like, mm-hmm. this is a life that I'm taking care of now for the rest of my life.
Your first is the same age mine is.
Yeah. 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 And so when Jace was born, you know, kind of what we talked about last week was, you know, following all the developmental guidelines from, you know, for baby's growth and all of that. And, you know, Jace was always late to the game, you know, as far as like, they should be sitting up by this time. Well, his head was huge, you know, like, yeah.
He must've got that from his mom.
So he had a big head. So like, he's supposed to be sitting up by this time, and we would sit him up and his head would just kind of lean to the side and he would fall over, you know, cause it was so much bigger. But like, yeah, he's normal now.
Well, you think he has a big brain? I mean,
I don't know. His head smart. Just grew first. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, you have all those things and you have all those worries and you don't know what to look for and all that stuff. And so you guys are doing this with Naraya and you're noticing, hey, she's pulling back from us. She's not embracing us like a child would normally do. And I can't remember what you said the thing is about the eyes.
Strabismus.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Strabismus was taking place.
Yeah.
And seizure started. And so now all of these things are you know that it's a bigger issue, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty early on that we started experiencing these things. And, you know, we had the doctors there that we were going to, but it was, you know, it was like they couldn't really figure out what was going on. Right. You know, we had some things thrown at us like mitochondrial dysfunction and stuff like that. And they were putting her on all these different kinds of medications and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, just not really getting any concrete answers.
How was your wife processing all this at the time?
Oh man. So I got to tell you guys, like who knows where Naraya would be if it wasn't for her mom. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. She was like instantly researching.
Oh yeah.
Instantly researching, trying to figure things out, you know. What could this be? Could this be this? Could it be that? You mm-hmm. know, definitely, you know, sometimes I'm like, man, don't research things. But mm-hmm. like in this case, it definitely came in handy.
Yeah.
You know, she really did. And even now she's still, you know, she's Naraya's champion, you know, even oh, yeah. more than I am.
Yeah.
You know, and, but yeah, so she dove into research, mm-hmm. you know, trying to figure things out,
yeah.
you know, keeping in mind what the doctors there were saying, but not really sitting right with us. Like, is right. it really that, you
right.
know? And, you know, then they came out here for a visit, I believe. And I don't remember how it worked out. Again, another hand of God moment. But she ended up getting in with a neurologist in Le Bonheur.
Wow.
And he almost immediately knew what was going on. Hmm. He was like, I'm pretty sure I know what this is. I'd like to run some tests. And it turned out that she had a gene deletion that started early in development.
Hmm.
You know, so it's, you know, pretty much throughout the entire thing. And it's a very rare gene deletion. It's on the 15th chromosome. But it's so rare that there's no name for it.
Mm.
There's no recorded case medically.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. There's Dawn ended up finding a little boy in Australia who had a deletion on the same chromosome that kind of overlapped Naraya's, but Naraya's was bigger.
Mm.
But he had a lot of like similar things, mm. you know,
yeah.
Going on. And it's crazy because Don,
I mean, sorry, I'm just like, that is, I don't even have the words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm imagining first time parent and
yeah. Well, that's what I wanted to get back to. We kind of skimmed a little bit, but
yeah.
Part of the point of my story was I had a healthy son
mm-hmm.
and I was falling apart, like mm-hmm, right. nervous wreck. You had to spend months in the NICU. What? Weeks?
Yeah, it was probably more weeks. But probably a couple of weeks.
And then you're learning all of these, you know, learning about all these things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
I may have missed it. When all this testing took place, was this still in Hawaii or was this here?
No, this was here. No, that's okay. The crazy part. Like, right. Well, Ernest didn't want to come here.
No, I know. Right. I want to make sure that hit home.
Yeah, on this mm-hmm. visit here, they ended up at Le Bonheur meeting this random neurologist.
Which is world-renowned children's hospital.
Right. Growing up in Hawaii, I didn't know what Le Bonheur was.
Right.
You know, I didn't know anything about it. But Dawn was talking about how she had talked to this nurse who, you know, got her in to see this neurologist, and, you know, and it was really, really was the hand of God moving, you know, and giving us some answers.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, you talk about something so rare that they don't even have a name for it. And yeah. You meet this neurologist, like, I think I know what this is. Like, yeah. That's crazy.
Yep. Yep. And he ran the tests and, you know, and that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, wow. And Dawn can recite the entire deletion.
Yeah.
Like it's a number and wow. she can recite it, because as soon as she found out about that,
yeah.
She dove right in. Like researching chromosome disorders and everything like that, and really like championing all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when I hear those stories, and even in my own experience in my own life, you know, just things nowhere near on the scale of like that, but other medical things, like I had a knee surgery, so like, man, how incredible is it that people are in these fields and are able, and that's, you know, learning about the human body, you know, and I just think that's fascinating.
Well, I just think about this neurologist who's probably like, why am I even learning this? You know, like what are the odds that I'm going to find somebody else that, you know, it's a super rare,
right?
And you walk in,
he
and
probably
you get the
didn't
answers.
Have that attitude.
I just think, you know, there's sometimes
I get it.
I think about Spanish, right? I think I was in high school and I'm like, I'm never going to use this. And then I go to the mission.
Now you are helping me order pizza. Right? Me and Justin order pizza in Bogota. You know,
I just wonder if there was this kind of time for him where it's like, oh my goodness, that one random super rare case. And I was able to help this family through that. You know, like that's.
But it may be the opposite of that. It may have been this guy was like, hey, I'm going to like, this is so rare and unique. And then he was placed in that position.
Right.
And it was not coincidence that this doctor.
Well, it's definitely not coincidence.
Right. And Dawn, and this doctor's whole upbringing, his whole training and education led him to this point.
Yeah.
And Dawn's traveling here, and it was divine intervention.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I know we had talked about.
Divine appointment.
Yeah. And how, like, miserable. You know, I was moving out here.
Completely.
Yeah, let's talk about that because I think everyone encounters that when they move out this way.
No.
So not just moving here from Hawaii, but when he got here, tell us how your body reacted to Tennessee.
You know, man, like allergies, I didn't really know what they were. Like I had sniffles and stuff in Hawaii, but man, moving out here, it like my body rebelled hardcore. Like my eyes were swollen shut.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't even go out in the backyard without my eyes swelling shut. Yeah. You know, asthma made an appearance. So I now have an albuterol inhaler that I take around with me because actually I just came back from doing allergy testing.
Oh, nice.
They wanted to retest me because I've been, you know, here for so long and I did like shots for the first 3 years or something like that when I was out here and still lit up like a Christmas tree.
Well, I do that too. I lit up on all outside stuff.
Oh yeah. For me, it was everything. My biggest one was like dust mites, which you can't.
You don't have those here.
You can't escape those. But anyway, my body rebelled and man, I was miserable. And Dawn and I were having a hard time because I was still upset about moving.
Yeah.
You know, Wheel of Fortune was always on Hawaii week for some reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just rubbing it in.
Yeah. Like it seemed like everything on TV was like a vacation to Hawaii. And I was like, oh, I hate this place. You know, watch the news and felt like I couldn't walk out of the house for fear of being shot or something. You know, like when I was growing up in Hawaii, you didn't really. Yeah.
Third time's a charm. Good time. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, there were so many, it was a huge culture shock for me.
Well, when
huge.
You take all those things all at the same time, you're leaving a job that you loved. You're leaving a place you love. You're leaving your family,
mm-hmm.
coming to a place you don't want to be at,
mm-hmm.
and encountering all these allergies. There's tension. Your daughter has these developmental issues that you're trying to figure all out.
Yeah.
That's weighty and that's heavy. And it's hard to be like, God, your plans are perfect.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, there was some of that in my heart of like, why am I even here?
Sure.
You know, but God really used that to talk to me about contentment.
Yeah.
You know, and I really, not to say that I'm always content, you know, but he really taught me how to find contentment in him,
yeah.
you know, and especially in that time, that's really what I needed to hear from him was yeah. like, how do I be okay, you know, in a new place, no friends yet, you know, no job, allergies are trying to kill me, right. you know, people killing each other, you know, out in the streets. Like, right. like there was everything where he really kind of just taught me how to rely on him for contentment,
yeah.
you know, and it's not a mistake that I'm here.
Right.
You know?
So in that time period though, are you seeking out his guidance in that, or is it just coming to you in other ways?
No, I really had to seek him.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask that question because, I mean, I think sometimes people, you know, let me just say this, that we need to, there needs a step needs to be taken by us in mm-hmm. faith, and the Lord wants us to seek him, and sometimes he'll put us in positions that will teach us to wait. And in the waiting, we trust, we develop trust and faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard, hard place to be. I'm the world's worst at waiting.
I feel like a lot of times too, those things, those steps of obedience in the moment don't make sense.
Right.
You know, it's like, am I hearing you right? You want me to go where and do what and mm-hmm. no job? And how's this your plan?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But then it takes those moments where the neurologist steps in and gives you answers and you're like, I needed that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move forward now. And it builds your faith.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I think it's that learning process of learning to trust when you don't see and you don't understand.
And you have to be, you know, I mean, you have to be open enough to accept that those are positive things of the Lord, not just be so focused on the negative. And that's where I found myself in the past,
mm-hmm.
where I was just so tunnel vision on the negative that it took me a long time looking back to realize the Lord had me the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't get to enjoy the joy of feeling his peace and comfort in those moments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I missed it.
Right.
And so now I look back on that as a learning experience.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try to. I was still not good at it. Still.
Still learning.
Yeah.
Still learning. I still, you know, but I think that was kind of the point I wanted to hear from you is, I mean, and that's where you inspire me a lot, just your positivity, you have a joy that comes out of you and a peace that comes out of you, whether you may not feel it all the time internally or not.
Right.
I mean, we've talked about times where there's been some anxious times mm-hmm. with this same testing that I've had. You know, we are not getting any younger.
Right.
We like to check the hood and check the oil. And sometimes the doctor might look at you and be like, oh, let's do something else. Well, then we get a little anxious.
Right.
But then, you know what? It comes back around. We're healthy. But anyway. But in all of that, though, you're very, you know, very positive, and that inspires me, knowing your story and knowing that it's not been easy,
mm-hmm.
but you've allowed the Lord
to develop that.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And now you're a testimony to others like me. So I want to take some time, if we may, and talk about the parenting. Now, how old is Narayan now?
She's 11 now.
All right. Look. I'm not even going to pretend to act like I can even relate to what you guys, you know, have gone through in parenting and the stress and the worry.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk through some of that. You know, how has it been parenting? You know, she can't, do the same things as other kids. I mean, kind of talk through some of that if you can.
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of paint this in the light of God's faithfulness.
Yeah.
Because before she was born, you know, we were looking for names and trying to think of names. And, you know, I really wanted it to be something that we hoped for this child in the Lord, you know. And out of nowhere, I come across the name Neriah, which is actually a male's name in the Bible. And there's really not much said about it.
Yeah.
You know, but I looked into the name and it meant burning light of God. And I was like, that's what I want. That's what I want our daughter to be.
Mm.
You know, I want her to be a burning light of God in this place.
Yeah.
You know, now a lot of times God works in ways that we may not, you know, we wouldn't have chosen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does things his way. And so, you know, Neriah's born, there's all these complications and things that are coming up. You know, we learn that there's a gene deletion, starting her on medications, but, because there's really nothing known about her specific deletion, even though they know what it is, nobody can tell us how she's going to develop.
Right.
Or what's gonna or not gonna happen for her growing up. Everything is just wait and see.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's one of the hardest things being her parent is we really don't know what her future holds.
Yeah.
You know, is she gonna develop, you know, beyond where she's at? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is she gonna be self-sufficient? We don't know, you know.
That's funny because we have the same questions about our 17-year-old right now. Like, I say that jokingly, but also serious because you think, okay, my child doesn't have any developmental issues like Neriah does. So if I do X, Y, and Z, the product will be this. And that's not always the case.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, thinking about those lines, like, we're getting ready to send him off, you know, and what is he going to do? How is he going to develop on his own? You know, did we do it right? Did you know, all those things are still there, but you know, obviously it's way different in this case.
Well, and you know, for us, we have, you know, we have the things where, other kids don't know how to play with her.
Right.
You know, so they don't. And then, you know, our heart breaks because, you know, we're watching our daughter, not even understanding that the kids are kind of, you know, distancing themselves. And, you know, to be fair, it's not like any kids that we've seen have been mean. It's just kind of, they don't know. Yeah. They don't know how to, and she's not able to communicate like they are.
Right.
And so they just kind of do their thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, and watching things like that and having thoughts like that, you know, as she gets older, she's about to go into middle school, you know, where people start to get mean,
right?
You know, and we're like, man, like, is she going to be okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is she even going to be aware if somebody's making fun of her?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like all of these kinds of things that, you know, we wrestle with as her parents, you know, and our first reaction when we see it is to intervene. Like, we want to, hey, don't leave her out. You know, we want to do that. But there are times when I've just got to kind of hold myself back and kind of look at her and be like, man, she doesn't even realize that it's happening. So why would I go and point that out to her now?
Yeah.
You know, and there's things like that I have to think about, you know, like if she's not aware of it, is it really a problem?
Yeah,
it is for me, but maybe not for her. You know, she's not upset about it yet. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But we dread those kinds of conversations. You know, is she going to develop to the point where she's going to come and say, Dad, why am I different?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or is she going to develop feelings for another boy and go, Dad, why won't boys talk to me?
Right.
You know, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, or what if somebody tries to take advantage of her?
Right.
Will she develop to a point where she can tell us?
Right.
You know, because right now she can't.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, if someone's mean to her at school, she probably won't even remember. Like, she'll come home and, how was school? Good. What did you learn? Numbers. You did. What else?
Right.
Gym. You know, like, right. like it's very, it's minimal. Like,
sure.
she's still developing, but it's minimal, you yeah. know, so... We wrestle a lot with those things, and I know Dawn more than myself will ask God sometimes, like, hey, why?
Yeah.
Like, why did you give us this child, you know, with all of these issues mm-hmm. and stuff like that? And then here's where God's faithfulness really shines through, is that girl can walk into a grocery store and make every single person she walks by smile.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? She says, hi, I love you.
Yeah.
And she means it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And some people don't know how to respond.
Sure.
You know, they're like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and other people are like, oh, thank you. And she'll go up and give people hugs,
right.
you know, and you can tell that it just,
yeah.
whatever was burdening them melts for yeah. that moment.
Look at her living up to her name.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I see that,
yeah.
you know, with other people, but then even with us, you know, learning how to be patient,
mm-hmm.
you know, because she has some bad days
yeah.
where sensories are overloaded and she doesn't want to listen. She
yeah.
doesn't want to eat. She doesn't want to take her medicine.
Right.
You know, and like allowing God through her to refine us in those ways,
yeah.
you know, where it's not even just about her now.
Yeah.
It's like anybody else.
Right.
Like, who knows what anybody else is going through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They might not have like physical, you know, things that are ailing them like that, like Nariah does, but you don't know what they're going through.
Sure.
You know, so if they're throwing a tantrum or if they're yeah. mad or yelling yeah. or swearing or, you know, whatevering at you, yeah. like learning how to have that patience and looking right. at them in love in the same way that we do with Nariah,
right.
you know? And so even for us at home, she's been his burning light,
yeah.
you know, to us, you know, where like we can look at her and we can look at all the difficulties and deficiencies and stuff like that and go, why God, why did you do
sure.
this? But he's opened us up in a way where like, yeah, there are some hard times, but like when you look at her, man, you just see the beauty of God in her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that really helps in terms of like patience and, you know, because sometimes even in those hard moments, like it just pierces your heart yeah. where you're yeah. like, oh man, but God loves you yeah. so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I don't know, for me, it's like he allows me to feel his love for her.
Yeah.
Which in turn turns back to me, you know what I
yeah,
mean? And
yeah.
it's just, he's really been faithful, in so many ways, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, having just recently done some work at your house and,
oh, wait, time out.
What?
Did he paint?
I did.
He did.
You said that positively.
Yeah.
Did he paint the right color?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why? 'Cause he got the right color out. All right. Listen, we're not going to go into this right now. Tommy wanted me to paint as his house. He didn't have the right paint, so he told me where it was. I got it. It was the wrong color.
That's his fault. That's one side. Anyway, we're going to go on with the story. Because
so anyway, I was at Ernest's house.
Painting.
Mm-hmm. And Nariah, I mean,
yeah.
if you have a lack of I love yous in your life, just go see Nariah. Hey, Mr. Jeff, I love you. Hey, Mr. Jeff, what you doing? I'm painting. I love you. Like yeah. it was just all day long. It's just positive. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
and now knowing the meaning of her name.
Yeah, that's cool.
That just make it so much because God is love.
Yeah. yeah.
And she's the light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her name means that. I mean, that's incredible story. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I wonder, you know, just, you know, I talked to another parent that goes to our church who has a child with special needs. And she said, you know, when you get in a group with other parents, you don't even have to explain yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just instantly know what they've experienced to some degree.
Yeah.
Right. And so just having that experience, and now you have two other daughters
mm-hmm.
younger, and you know, they don't have any developmental issues right now. Yeah. Everything's checked out normal. Mm-hmm. And so looking at all those things. But I mean, I just think, you know, if we were to have a child with special needs, I'd be like, Ernest, teach me everything. Right. Because like I see that in you, and I see, to your point, what God has done in your life. And I wonder, have you taken an inventory of the lessons that you've learned, you know, and seen that character development in you? Like, who were you pre-Nariah mm-hmm. and 11-year-old Nariah? And that journey, like just that character development in you, because that positivity, that patience, all that that you had to learn with her comes out in all the relationships with the guys in the group, at church. Mm-hmm. I see that in all you and everything that you do. And so that's what Tommy was talking about. Like, that's just contagious. And you see Nariah doing what her dad does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a burning light.
Yeah.
That was a really, really great way to ask that question, by the way. I just want to say that was really good. Thanks. Because I was trying to think, how am I going to, because I had the exact same question. Yeah. So perfect.
Well, you know, growing up in Hawaii, dude, you're always laid back and stuff. No, like I don't think do that. I think God, you know, when he made me, he gave me extra portions of patience, you know, and
you've joked that sometimes you might have too much patience too sometimes, right?
I mean,
where you've sit there, you can sit there and do nothing.
Yes. Like, yes.
Okay. Well, we won't go there today, but I just want to
say, I've taken a gift of God. And
so you're saying there's a difference between patience and lazy.
Yes, for sure.
All right, go ahead. We won't interrupt.
But you know, he kind of allowed me to experience, you know, the stress and the anxiety, mm-hmm. you know, that comes from, you know, having just a family in general.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Not necessarily with the special needs, but that just kind of bumps it up a little bit, you know? And I needed that, right? Like, to understand what patience was.
Sure.
Like, oh, Ernest, you're always so chill. You're always so this, you're always so that. You know, but then to be able to go through situations and feel, you know, meet the stress, meet the anxiety, and then have the ability to kind of filter it out, you know, and not just react right away.
Right. There's a difference between being chill.
Right.
And being patient when the weight of the world's on you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, patience really is that moment of not reacting to the situation, right? Yeah. Patience is that waiting or that contemplating, you know? And really, you know, as Christians, and as for me as a Christian, what that equates to is, okay, God, like, where are you? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nariah's having a meltdown. I can't console her.
Right.
What do I do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where do I go from here? Do I sit and let her cry it out? Do I just hold her, you know, or do I just sit here?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, we've talked at length before, but like, you've even expressed like, okay, how much of this is the gene deletion
mm-hmm.
and an 11-year-old girl?
Correct.
Right. Like, how do you distinguish between, is she just being rebellious right now, or mm-hmm. is she really not understanding what's being communicated?
Oh man, and that is such a challenge.
Yeah,
because she's smarter.
She is smart.
She's smarter than you would think.
Right,
and so there are times where I feel like I'm being played for sure.
Yeah. Is her mental capacity at 11-year-old?
No.
So it's more like, hey, I don't know. What do you know? What do they have a? I don't want to say something to be insulting, but it's almost like, hey, a toddler, a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, mm-hmm. how they act out.
Yes.
She has an 11-year-old body, kind of.
Correct.
You know, but her mentality, she's still very immature, or, you know, young and mm-hmm. developing.
So her 4-year-old sister pretty much doing the things that she can do now.
Yeah.
You know. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's where, though, you've got to balance that. Like, I've heard from other people that have children that have some needs there, and that is a, like, is this part of that, or, you know, a symptom of that, or is this just the kid?
Yeah, mm-hmm. whatever,
right.
So. Sure. Yeah. Well, and you know, it's the discipline that's the challenge, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when do I spank her?
Right.
You know what I mean? When do I just have patience because she's not controlling herself right now.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of finding that balance. And I think there are times for both of us where, you know, we might give her a spank and then go, man, that wasn't the time for right. a spank, you right. know. But we've kind of made it a point, whether she understands or not, when we feel that way, we sit down and we talk to her about it. Mm-hmm. You know, man, daddy shouldn't have given you a spank right then, right. you know. And we, you know, we apologize to her, mm-hmm. you know, in those moments. Just, you know, whether, like I said, whether she understands or not, just to kind of start fostering that with all the girls,
sure.
really.
Sure.
Like, hey, you know, I make mistakes too.
Right. That's no different. Yeah. I mean, Jeff and yeah. I have done that. I've had to apologize to my kids on occasion to say, hey, you know, I reacted from an emotional mm-hmm. state there. And,
right.
you know, I'm sorry for that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that is healthy for us as parents to do. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
And realizing that, though, and teaching your child that it's okay, you know, when we make a mistake, that, hey, we can own up to it as well. We can right. ask you for your forgiveness just like we asked, just like you can ask, you know, your father for forgiveness. And
right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ernest, man, I really appreciate you sharing your story, sharing this journey. Man, we love you and your family. And
really good.
Yeah, we're excited for you to have shared that. And we pray it encourages some others that are,
yeah.
you know, on the same journey and trying to figure things out and don't have all the answers. But yeah. we have a God that does, and we can trust him.
Absolutely.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.